Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Adam Talks, a podcast that takes an alternative look at retirement. This is Adam Bergman, founder and CEO of IRA Financial. If you want to learn more, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on social media. Just search IRA Financial. Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Adam Talks. I'm Adam Bergman, tax attorney, founder of IRA Financial. Now, today's episode, a new and important self-directed IRA LLC case. So before I get started, just want to apologize for my voice. Actually thought I was positive for COVID. Around Thanksgiving, just kind of woke up with a bad cold, cough, no fever. Ended up getting tested twice, negative. So I even got tested for the flu, negative. So I guess just have a normal cold. Forgot what it feels like. It's been almost 2 years since I've been sick. So bear with me. I'm really sorry. I just wanted to get this out there because it's an important case. McNulty v. Commissioner, I did a short ad bits on this that was just dropped a couple days ago. This is a little more in depth. And then I'm going to do an Adam Live on Wednesday, December 1st. Where you can ask questions about it. It'll also be up on YouTube. So if you miss it, Wednesday noon Eastern Standard Time, do not worry. So it's an important case for a number of reasons. The facts are pretty simple, and I'll go through them in a minute. That's not what's, I think, relevant. What's relevant is that the court went into a pretty lengthy opinion on the idea of control, the idea of unfettered command or unfettered control over IRA assets. And this could have implications primarily for cryptocurrency holders that want to hold Bitcoin and other cryptos in a cold wallet personally. And I'll get to that in a minute. So otherwise, this should have been a simple case. I'm surprised it even went to tax court. I'm surprised the McNulty's just didn't pay the tax and penalty, but they wanted to pay to fight the penalties. So they paid the tax and went to tax court. And here are some facts. So back in 2015, Mrs. McNulty, she purchased a service from a company called Checkbook IRA. And they're still around, actually. And on their website, they basically were suggesting that you can buy precious metals and hold them at home. And they used Kingdom Trust as the custodian. And they set up IRA LLC. So the IRA will ultimately own the LLC. And they did multiple transactions of moving cash from their current retirement account to Kingdom Trust, which then funded this LLC. And in multiple occasions, they bought precious metals and real estate. And the way the precious metals were purchased is they were purchased in the name of the LLC, but sent to Ms. McNulty's home address, her personal residence, principal place of business, and they signed for them and they kept the coins in their home. And that should have been the end of the case, because if you go through Section 408M of the Internal Revenue Code, it's very clear that all bullion, precious metals, and coins must be held in the physical possession of a trustee, which is essentially a bank or depository. Now, some scrupulous marketers, going all the way back to like the mid-2014 to 20, and our industry fought hard to get these advertisements removed because they were just false and misleading. But you may have heard them. They were on Sirius Radio. I heard a bunch of them, even on television, stating that they had a solution that allowed you to purchase gold and coins and hold them at home, which is, again, just unscrupulous, false lies. And unfortunately, these people, the McNulty's, believed it. They believed what they were told. And they entered in these transactions and they held the coins at home. Some people in the marketplace try to make the argument that the physical possession requirement only applied to bullion bars, like gold, silver, palladium bars, and not coins. And they looked at some of the language, and again, the provision wasn't properly drafted. It was actually very poorly drafted, but if you look at the legislative history and the intent, it's clearly that they wanted the physical possession requirement to apply to all IRS-approved bullion bars and coins. So the McNulty's did this. They got audited, and the IRS uncovered this transaction. And instead of just paying the tax and penalties and going away, they took it to tax court to fight the penalties so that the possession of these coins would not be treated as a taxable distribution. This is not a 4975 prohibited transaction because 408M, where the purchase of coins is homed or housed, it's not a prohibited transaction issue. It's more just a taxable distribution. So Kingdom Trust filed the 50498 and showed the values of these coins. But the issue, unfortunately, just came down to violating the statute. So that should have ended there. I probably would have done a really short podcast on that, and it would have basically been the end of the McNulty's. However, the court, I think, took some liberty in drafting this opinion. And actually, instead of focusing in their arguments first and foremost on the violation of 408M of the statute, they actually started their argument talking about control. And that is what's surprising. It really should have been an unremarkable case. But they started their analysis on the idea of control. And they basically said this, and I'll quote this from the case. Independent oversight by a third-party fiduciary to track and monitor investment activities is one of the key aspects of the statutory scheme. When coins or bullion are in the physical possession of an IRA owner, in whatever capacity the owner may be acting, there is no independent oversight that could prevent the owner from invading her retirement funds. The lack of oversight is clearly inconsistent with the statutory scheme, and this is the key. Personal control over the IRA assets by the IRA owner is against the very nature of the IRA. I'll repeat that. Personal control over the IRA assets by the IRA owner is against the very nature of the IRA. And essentially, they went into focus on control. And again, if you're doing most alternative asset investments like real estate, private equity, hedge funds, private placements, investment funds, private businesses, excuse me, loans, deeds, you're not going to have to worry about this because case law is clear. You can look at the McGaw case, the Ancira case, that clearly held that when you hold stock certificates in the IRA, in the name of the IRA, that is not a taxable distribution. Okay, so no one's going to argue that if you have the real estate deed or the certificate from the business stock you own that you in your IRA triggered a prohibited transaction. But when you buy cryptocurrencies, and we know cryptocurrencies are a digital asset, so there hasn't been many cases that deal with possession, right? The only asset class that has a physical possession requirement is precious metals. And it's always been unclear. People have asked me, hey, can you own and hold crypto in a cold wallet? And the idea is, hey, as of before this case was published, which was November 18, 2021, the answer was probably maybe, if not yes, because again, there's no physical possession requirement for digital assets, only physical gold or bullion coins. So the idea was, hey, there's no guidance at this point. You probably can do it. And in our platform with Gemini, we do offer our clients the ability to hold cryptos in a cold wallet off the exchange. And there's a form the clients need to sign acknowledging all this. So this is something that actually is, we're in the process of reworking, adding some language to that, and ultimately going to find a solution with a dual signatory cold wallet where at least IRA Financial can have some veto power or some dual signatory over the cold wallet to show that you do not have unfettered control or command over that wallet. Because based off the McNulty case, the IRS could come in and argue that it's a taxable distribution because you have control and unfettered command over that IRA assets in the cold wallet. Now, for all other IRA investors owning cryptos on the exchange, so if you hold the cryptos, the Bitcoin, the Ethereum, Polygon, whatever you buy on the exchange, you have no issue, right? Because you bought it in the name of the IRA, you have no personal ownership, you're just trading, you don't control the asset, you have no unfettered control, you can't move it anywhere, you're safe, you're secure. It's like owning real estate or owning stocks, nothing to worry about. But when you pull cryptos off an exchange to a cold wallet, you essentially have control over that asset, right? You have the keys, you can do whatever you want, you can transfer it to anywhere you want, you can hold it anywhere. And before the McNulty case, before it was published on November 18th, there was no physical possession requirement. So you didn't, there was no nothing in the code or in case law saying that you cannot physically possess the digital asset. Now, why do people move cryptos off an exchange to a cold wallet? Well, it's obviously based off security, right? Everyone's worried about fraud and hacks. And if you have a cold wallet, you can detach it from the internet and you're far more secure than hold it in a safe. So there is a lot of interest from investors that want to own cryptos in an IRA to have access to those cryptos on a cold wallet. And the McNulty case has changed our position and the fact that we now need to be cautious of making sure that none of our clients have unfettered control or command over that asset. So we are in process of revamping our cold wallet solution, and we'll be releasing a solution to that, a fix, I would say, an update in the coming days, where you'll have dual, if you want to end up pulling the cryptos off the exchange, you don't have to. You can hold the cryptos on the exchange. If you want to, you'll probably have to have dual signatory authority with IRA Financial in order to satisfy the McNulty case. So that's why I wanted to spend some time on this case. It should have been a very bland, not very exciting case. The facts were not in dispute. They were clearly violated 408M. It should never have gone to tax court. And once it got to tax court, then the court had the ability to at least voice their position on holding or at least taking possession of assets in an IRA. And clearly the court believes that, and they made this super clear, that no personal possession, right? So you can hold the IRA asset. There's not many assets you can hold, right? There's not many IRA assets that are tangible other than gold or coins. Again, there's clearly exemptions for stock certificates and other transactional documentations like real estate deeds or notes that would not give you the power to transact based off that note, right? You couldn't go to 7-Eleven with your note and buy a can of soda, or you wouldn't go to Louis Vuitton with your personal stock investment and buy a Louis Vuitton bag, right? So it doesn't have the same transferability as gold or as Bitcoin, where it could be used as a means of currency, as a means of trade, to actually have unfettered command over that underlying asset. So this case is important, really, for cryptocurrency investors that want to hold digital assets on a cold wallet off an exchange. So if you're in that segment, let's reach out to us, because we'll be working on a fix for our current solution that will probably require you to have dual signatures on that cold wallet, or some type of veto power from us, so that you can satisfy McNulty. Now, again, it's not something I want to do. It's just, if you want to satisfy McNulty and make sure that holding the digital coins in a hard wallet or cold wallet would not trigger a taxable distribution, we're going to need to comply with the rules set forth in this case. And that's the danger of going to court, is not only can you lose, but the opinion can set precedent that may work against you and other taxpayers in a similar predicament. So that's kind of what I'm going to say. I'm going to keep it short because my voice is shot and I'm fighting this horrible cold and cough. So you probably don't want to hear my voice anymore, and I really can't talk for much longer without coughing. So that's it. Just to summarize again, clearly you can't hold coins or bullion, IRS approved, anywhere outside of a U.S. depository. Do not hold them at home. You'll violate 408M. Now, if you want to hold cryptos, which is kind of akin to digital gold, the case is clear that there cannot be unfettered control or command or personal possession by the IRA owner. So in that case, we're working on a solution through a dual signatory wallet where you'll be able to have the wallet, have control over it. We won't be able to touch the cryptos or move it without your consent, but you will need our consent to move it as well. Again, this is not something that IRA Financial is excited about. We don't want to be more involved in your transactions from an IRA standpoint, but we need to comply with case law and make sure that we are protecting your retirement accounts from IRS attack. So that's something that is forcing us to make changes in our policy and coming up with more relevant upgraded solutions that will satisfy the language in the case, so that you can hold digital assets on a cold wallet without violating the terms and the language in the McNulty opinion that fosters on unfettered command and unfettered control and no personal possession. So if we can show that you don't have unfettered control because you need the custodian consent to move it, we're going to satisfy the McNulty case and you're not going to have any issues. So not a perfect scenario, but at least we have a little bit of guidance now that we can now formulate a more targeted solution for cryptocurrency investors that want to hold cryptos outside of the exchange on a cold wallet. Just be clear, you don't have to do it, right? Gemini is super safe and secure. They're a licensed trust company. They have insurance, obviously, for their clients. But still, I understand some clients want to hold the cryptos personally for added security, and we just need to comply with the McNulty principles in order to allow you to do that. So there you go. I appreciate it. If you want more information, definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. Obviously, you can pick up podcasts anywhere you listen to them, whether it's Spotify, Apple, SoundCloud. But for this particular subject, I'm doing an Adam Live Wednesday, December 1st, 12 noon. If you're listening to this after that, don't worry. It's on YouTube. Just go to the IRA Financial channel. You can hit subscribe. You'll get updates when I go live every week. We generally post 5 videos, 3 podcasts a week as well. So it's a great resource, great place to get updated content on self-directed IRA, solo 401ks, all types of interesting information on alternative assets, taxation, small business stuff. I try to give you the content that, you know, as a tax lawyer, I would feel a self-directed investor or small business owner would want to know to become a better investor and a more tax-savvy investor. So thanks for bearing with me today. I hope my voice is better. Tomorrow, I'm doing resting, and I'm just happy I don't have COVID, but it's still not great. So thank you again for listening, and I'll talk to everyone again next week.